Our blessed, loving Lord, we thank you for your manifold blessings. You've been so good to each and every one of us. We have much to be grateful for this day. Lord, we are glad that you love us. We ask you, Father, to defeat the enemy in any way he would come against this service. Give liberty, give freedom, give anointing, give blessings here today, we pray. We ask you, Lord, to look down in every one of our hearts. As judgment travelers, we need you this day. There's nothing we can do without you. It takes more than human efforts to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Lord, we ask you that you'll preach this message. The Holy Ghost, Lord, will take it to the hearts. And every soul will be blessed here today. Lord, we ask you to look down upon us in this meeting, not only in this present hour for the duration of these meetings. Lord, help us out. We all stand in need of your blessings. Lord, sustain us, we pray. Father, give victory in this meeting. We ask in Jesus' name. Lord, may the thoughts that's expressed here be given out of love. And grace, Lord, we ask it in your name. Amen. Ancient Israel was given the command not to have any gods before them. Well, as Bible history will indicate and show, that command was broken, wasn't it? Numbers of times, over and over and over. The most common idol amongst humanity in this day, I'm going to put it on the board. Somebody knew before. This is the most common idol. This idol is set up and enthroned in the hearts of men, women, boys and girls of all ages, of all nationalities, all shapes and sizes. We come into this world handicapped. When we entered into this world, we had one strike against us. Amen.
That's right, Lord.
One strike against us we had. Now, in professional baseball, it is possible for a player to come into a game with one strike against them. Under most conditions, each player is given three strikes. But under a certain condition, a player can enter into the game with one strike against them. And that is when a player is placed in a game by his manager to pinch hit after one strike is already being given to another hitter. I don't know if everybody understands that or not. But the manager can put in a pinch hitter, and the hitter that preceded him already had one strike against him. When we entered into this world, little tiny babies, we had one strike against us, in that we were born with a perverted, selfish nature. Our very nature was selfish when we come into the world. If you don't believe little babies have freedom from selfishness, why do they want life to revolve around their baby crib? Why do they cry when they don't need anything? They have that selfish nature in them. Of course, they're unaware of many facts Then mom and dad are tired and they got many other responsibilities. They don't know all of that. But they'll cry in the middle of the night and daddy's got to go to work in the morning and the mother's tired. But what they want is their need or what they want satisfied. And they cry out needlessly many times because of a selfish, perverted nature. Do we believe that children have this? I had it. And that grows up in them. And they want their way. We come in this world grabbing and trying to get our own way. Scheming and conniving to have our way in life. But Paul found a better way. Let's read about his experience in the second chapter of Galatians. Twentieth verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Notice these words here in the first part of this verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, it was a far better thing that Paul did to crucify the self-life. I am crucified. Yet, it's not me that's living, it's Christ. It is a far better thing for all of us today to crucify self. Put it to death. It's an enemy in you that needs to die. Not just suppressed. Not just held down. But died to. People that suppress hostile feelings down deep in their heart, they still have them. Smooth things over and become an expert at camouflaging their feelings. But deep down within, them old feelings are still there. Hostile towards individuals. But yet, they can cover it up. Them feelings that are covered up and buried and suppressed can send that person to eternal damnation. And their souls will be destroyed and they'll have those hostile feelings in eternity. Do you think the prodigal son's brother just got those feelings the day of the return and the celebration and the merriment? His feelings didn't just enter into his heart that day. But they were suppressed because of the circumstances. He was out of his hair. He was away from home. Out away in a far country. But when he made his return and his appearance, the to-do and the merriment and the celebration and the people enjoying themselves because of the return, those feelings popped out, didn't they? They surfaced and they were ugly, weren't they?
Yes.
The Father entreated him, come in and enjoy what we are enjoying. But the feeling was so strong that he could not join in. He could have had some steak, let's say mashed potatoes, hot rolls, and whatever was served that day. But his hostile feelings that had been buried and suppressed by the circumstance of the return of his brother, they come out. They come out. Hostile feelings can come out even after they've been squashed down. Unforgiveness can be suppressed, can be held down. But then unforgiving feelings can come out. Someone can cross someone that has had something down in the heart against them, and they flare up. All of that past, or some of the past that hasn't been forgiven, can come to the mind along with the fresh, whatever incident happened, and it can just cause people to show their unforgiving attitudes. People can get some of the most, well, no unforgiveness is frivolous. One minister was telling about how his sister made a confession unto him. She confessed that she had had something against him. She also confessed what it was. His son had not married her daughter, and she held it against him. He was totally and entirely unaware that that woman had anything in her heart like that. Why? Because she'd suppressed it. She held it down. But perhaps God got to dealing and showing her the ugliness of this feeling or this unforgiveness that she had. And the man claimed that it wasn't his fault at all. It was an uncle's fault. Whosever fault it was, she was in the wrong. If she would have died, she would have been lost forever. She could have suppressed it. The man would never have known it. She would have never confessed it, but she would have been as lost. Lost, lost. Mercy was extended into her, and the loving hand of God dealt with her soul, and she brought that out. Listen, don't suppress unforgiveness. Don't suppress hostile feelings. Get rid of them. Amen. Come to the Lord and say, I don't want him. I don't want him. Turn them loose. Let them go. Even if you don't like an old dog, that can affect you. Sure he can. He can rob you of some peace and some joy. Listen, self cannot be suppressed and satisfy God. Self must be died to. Died to. Anything that the Lord told you to deny, it's not good. Self is an enemy. People will recognize, yes, sin will destroy me. Sin is an enemy. But let me go beyond sin. Many need to be saved from self. Much emphasis is put on sin at times. But beyond this, self needs to be dead. And we need to be saved from ourselves. From ourselves. Self is destructive. Self will destroy. Self wants its way. Oh, yes, it does. It ought respect even a king. A king desired another man's vineyard. Naboth had a vineyard. Ahab was a king. He had much luxury, his palace and all. But somewhere there was an attraction to this man's vineyard. And he set his heart on it. He wanted it, he wanted it, he wanted it. He approached Naboth. I want the vineyard. I want it. Naboth did not want to give up his vineyard. It had been in the family and it was passed on down and he wanted to hold on. Alright, this so displeased Ahab. Now what he did, he went home. Went to his room. Didn't want anything to eat. Didn't want it. What'd you say? Pouting? Good name for that, Brother Wilson. You children, it's ugly in child. But what about a king? A king. In the room pouting. If you ever got upset at your brothers or sisters, your mother, father, whoever, and just went off stalking to your room and closed the door and pouted. All the things that displeased you went over in your mind, you just sit there and felt bad. Well, this king did that. While he was laying on the bed, he was thinking about this vineyard that was refused. He was upset and he was pouting, and in walks his wife and she saw that there was something wrong. Listen, may God help us so we'll be able to control our emotions. Control our emotions. That you will be able, even if, and me, even if I'm under heavy trial and burden, to be able to still smile. She could tell something was wrong. Do you ever get in a mood where somebody says, what's wrong with you? Huh? What's the matter with you today? Did you get up on the wrong side of the bed? Have you got a headache? She knew something was wrong with him. May God help our behavior that we won't have to have people say, are you all up the wrong side of the bed this morning? Well, something was wrong. He was very unhappy. He told her what the problem was. She didn't think, no problem. We can take care of this. You are the king. Let me show you how ugly self is. They had an innocent man framed, didn't they? This is how ugly self gets. Not only was he framed, he was murdered, killed. Self will go to different extremes to get its own way. This innocent man that had every right, did he? To hold on to his vineyard? If you got something good today, hold on to it. Let me encourage the saints right here and now. Hold on to the good. Hold on to to pull anything good away from you.
Amen.
The enemy's a thief. He's a robber. He wants to get all the good out of you. But may, by God's grace, we hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Well, the man was dead. The vineyard was his. But how long did he enjoy it? How long did he enjoy that? Not very long, did he? The man of God met him and judgment had been pronounced. Remember, when you scheme and connive to get your own way, you won't enjoy it very long. Whatever people's after today in this life, it's not going to be very long that they're going to have it. We can look east, west, north, and south. I could go to the highest place in Oklahoma or the highest place in the world and look down over everything. And everything that my eyes would behold was temporary.
Right.
Every bit of it is temporary. If I went and looked at myself in the mirror, that's temporary.
That's true.
So he didn't have it long. That's it, Brother Wilson. Having your own way is temporary. It's not worth it. Oh, may God help us to give up our way. Give up our way. Oh, but self thinks my way's got to be the best. Doesn't it? My way's got to be better than your way. But let me tell you, even if it is better, it's best to give up our way. Don't you forget that if you give up your way, you'll have more peace. People holding out for their own way. There's not peace in here. To give up your way and do it from the heart is to have peace. Oh, it's best. It is best. Self is such a tyrant, it wants to rule. Wants to dominate and control. Rule. And it goes some mean ends to do it. Like Absalom. Wanted his father's position to be king over Israel. He wanted it to the extent he wanted his father's life. Ugly, isn't it? Well, maybe you think I wouldn't go to that extreme. And maybe you wouldn't. But any little bit of self is in the family of that. Right? His own father's life didn't mean that much to him. He wanted his life and he wanted his position. Self is ugly. It wants to rule. It wants to dominate. Let me drop this in here too. In the church of God, we are not to have dictators. God doesn't want dictators in the church of God. Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't want us bossing people around. It's better to rule by love, isn't it? Was it brute force that broke the back of Satan? It was love and humility that caused Jesus to break his back as he hung and died humbly on the cross. Humility is the winner, folks, and love. Any time that a work or a congregation comes to a one-man dynasty, There's trouble.
That's right.
Jesus did not set up his church that way. I want you all to love me. But the church of God is not set up on one man.
That's right.
And any time a one-man dynasty develops, that work is going to begin to wither. Here? It's going to be warped.
That's right.
It's going to be all out of shape. And things is going to go haywire. God don't want it that way.
Amen.
God wants His people to work together in unity. You know what God wants me to have in my heart is an attitude towards my fellow ministers. Lord wants us to want them to be blessed to their maximum ability.
Yes.
Do we want this? Jealousy has to be kept out, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Huh? He wants me to be able to work with my brothers and sisters in harmony. And where self has the upper hand, there is not unity. There is not harmony. Is this true? Where self is upmost and has the upper hand, there is not unity. There is not harmony. There is not a flowing of love. God don't want it that way. He wants us linked and chained together with love. Knit together in love, workers together. Not Jesus made of himself no reputation, didn't he? He emptied himself. And he took on the form of a servant. We are to be teammates. You asked a coach whether he would rather have a player that's out for his own reputation or a team player. Which one do you think he'd want? What'd you say, Brother Wilson?
He wants a team player.
He wants a team player. Not somebody that's trying to be a big shot. Let me say something. A team player, let's take somebody that's out to build up their reputation. A player on a basketball team. And here's the basket over here. And here is, out here, this player that's trying to build up his reputation. He's 30 feet away from the basket. Right up here is a teammate. He is open to receive a ball, pass. But this fellow that wants to make a reputation, he's itchy, you know, to get his points up. See, the next day in the newspaper, it shows how many points he's scored. And instead of him thinking about the welfare of the team, he thinks, I want to make these 2 points. So what he does, he, from this 30-foot position, throws this over here and misses. You see?
where he could have passed off and thrown to his teammate who had a better
shot at the basket. God wants teammates instead of people that wants to build up their own reputation. How can that affect you? A minister goes to camp meeting and he knows that the biggest crowds of the year is on Sunday morning. Sister Maxine says yes.
Amen.
Just several ability that ministers above this individual. But he has his reputation in mind.
Amen. All right now.
Yeah. Teammates all around here.
Pretty close, isn't it? Sunday morning, the biggest crowd of the whole 10 days is there. Is he thinking about all these souls that this one has the ability to touch better than me? Or is he thinking, or she, all of these people will get to hear me?
Preach on.
Well, you know, the enthusiasm just gets built up in their little heart. See, the people keep coming, the crowd keep coming, the enthusiasm keeps building and keeps building. Is this possible?
Oh, yeah.
And this one that isn't so abilited, that wants to make the reputation instead of being a team man, steps up and makes a big flop. Oh. People sit there and they squirm from one side to the other. You ever seen this happen? People get up and go out. And then some will be yawning and some will be sleeping and looking around at this, that, and see what other, everything else that they can see. Why? Because somebody didn't die to self that day.
Amen.
God wants us to be team.
Yes,
that's
so.
Jesus made of himself no reputation and took on himself the form of a servant. If he did it, just emptied himself out of all the glory and all the prestige and the angels hovering over him and the Father's glory and splendor, he just emptied that out and took on the form of a servant.
That's right.
If he did that, what about us?
Amen.
Empty it of all self.
Amen.
All of your prejudice. He's the example. He's the model. He's the pattern. He's the one to go by. The perfect man. Mark him. He's the perfect man. It's time and our time we empty out.
Amen.
Empty our minds. Empty our emotions. Empty our hearts. Of all of self. Many years I long for her. You can sing with me. Peace within the
spirit. And I often sought the Lord among you.
He even cried about it. But Wouldn't pay the price. Wouldn't make that sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. Oh, yes. It is in losing we gain, folks. It is saving that we lose. Do you want grief and pain? If it even costs grief and pain, find your life again.
If I lose myself,
if we lose ourselves, self has its own interest.
Yes, it does.
And that interest conflicts with God's interest. Amen.
That's right.
Self-interest and God's interest are totally different. There's a contrast. It's different as daylight and dark. Self-interest conflicts with God. Have you ever heard of conflicts of interest? Do you think the President of the United States would take a man into his cabinet, say as the Secretary of Commerce, that was the President of Yale University? Why? Because there would be a conflict of interest. That man maybe has so many qualities that would just fit right into the plan of his game plan for his administration. All the qualities he wants in a Secretary of Commerce. Fits perfectly at Titi. But that man don't want to leave that university. Do you think he'd have them? The only way he would take him is for his to sever his relationship as the president of that university. Conflicts of interest. Self-interest conflicts with God's interest. And God does not want to go into partnerships with myself or yours either. If there were more people God interested and God seeking, there'd be more people in these seats this morning. Oh, people's got excuses. Yes, they had excuses that day when the feast was given. The invitation went out. And the different ones come up with their excuses. Well, I married a wife. Another one had bought a piece of property. Another one had bought some oxen. All of those was conflicts of interest. That was considered legal too, wasn't it? Isn't it legal to buy a piece of property? Isn't it legal to marry? Isn't it legal to buy some oxen? And maybe in some incidents, those things are important. But let me tell you, the matter of us doing God's will is urgent. Many things may be important, but God's will is urgent, folks. And we are to drop our interest.
Yes, amen. Get our priorities straight here.
Say that again, Brother Wilson.
Get our priorities straight here.
One man said, "Let me go bury my father." You know what? His father wasn't even dead. Flimsy, wasn't it? In other words, Jesus, just I put you on hold here. You go to the back burner. I got something else I want. Isn't this what selfishness is like? Self-interest is like that. You wait, Jesus. And he did. Or he let the man go on. Did he ever follow him? Never tells us he did. Oh yes, selfish interest today occupies the minds and the times of many. And that is put up above God's interest. People would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God.
That's right.
Well, it's really ugly when it gets in a preacher. A man was given a message to go preach. He didn't even care enough about the people to go preach. Shouldn't preachers love people?
Amen.
This man, instead of going and preaching, went and got on a ship and went the opposite direction. Listen, when we go away from God's will, we're going the opposite way, folks. He went the opposite way. And he went and got a ticket on this boat. And he went down into the boat. When we go away from God's will, we're going down, folks.
That's right.
And another thing he did, he went to sleep. Oh, people that sleep this morning. And crossed over the will of God and sleeping. Many incidents, it looks like a perpetual sleep. Sleep, sleep, sleep. Sleeping day in and day out. Not alarmed that they're undone condition. They can be in advanced in years. If you don't believe me, you go to the Shawnee Golden Rule Home and there's people in that home that is up in age and they're not prepared to meet God. Are they digging? Are they putting forth effort? They just keep sleeping. Sleeping, sleeping, and some have slipped on into eternity lost. Lost, lost forever. Well, he was down there asleep. The storm began to rage. He got up. Or he was woke up. And you know, they didn't have to tell him he was the man. Did they? I'm your man. He knew, he knew, he knew. He was out of the will of God. All the people would wake up today and say, I'm out of the will of God. I'm the man. I'm the one that needs help. Instead of that, they can blame the saints. Point their fingers at this one and that one. This saint did that. That saint did that. This preacher did that. Instead of doing that, they need to say, I'm the one.
Amen.
I'm out of the will of God. I've been going the wrong direction.
Yeah.
We know he was thrown over, and even young children knows that there was a large fish. They call him a whale. Have you ever noticed the timing of God was so perfect with all the water? That fish was right there on time.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, he was right there at the right spot. Let us magnify the power of God. Had that whale right at the right place. Had him there for the right man. That's a pretty miserable 3 days and nights, don't you imagine? In the digestive system of a whale or whatever it was. It's not my idea of Been on a vacation. Taking a few days off. Getting away from it all. I was getting away from it. But he began to think, I want to get back with it. The Lord caused that fish to get sick at his stomach and heaved him out, and he hit the ground running. He made up some time, didn't he? He got to that city, and when he got there, he began to preach that message. Oh, repent. This city's going to go up. It's going to be destroyed. Tell me about a message that had effect. It had an effect. God used a man who had just been out of the will of God, turn him around and give him that same message back. Oh Lord, help us. He gave that message. The king got sincere. He come off of the throne. He went down in sackcloth and ashes and fasting. The cattle fasted. The people fasted. And God's heart was moved.
Amen.
His heart was touched. Oh, may we as a church of God stay on our face before God.
Yes.
Who said that? Who said it was the need of the hour, Sister Laverne? Say that again, will you? That is the need of the hour, she said. Oh, stay on your face before God. We heard a message Saturday night. Call on God. Call on Him. We need the mercies of God, folks. We need God to help us. As individuals, as a collective body, we need God's help today. Our only hope is in Him. Our help is in the Holy Ghost. We stay on our faces before God, pleading, begging for mercy for our own self, for others. It turned God's heart away from the destruction He was going to bring. Didn't it?
Yes, it did.
And He changed His mind. Thank God He changed His mind. Well, did that prophet rejoice? Here thousands and thousands and thousands. Who knows the population of Nineveh at that time? Brother Leslie said 120,000 people. Has any minister in here ever had that type of result? Where you preached and it was just 100% effective, everybody got repenting. We know we haven't. We haven't had success near like that. He should have been so thankful and praising God, but he went out to watch the destruction come. He probably kept looking over there. Well, it ought to be just about any time. Here he was with his face maybe blistered from the sun. And when he saw that they were spared, he probably started boo-hooing and crying. His eyes got probably red and swollen because he was crying and wanted to die. Because the city was spared. Huh? Self-interest. How's this going to affect my reputation? I said they was going to be destroyed. And here, God spared him. Ooh, it's ugly, folks. Self-interest is ugly. Well, how are we going to defeat this enemy? How are we going to die to self?
is by loving God with all of our heart. That will put a death to self-life. Loving God with all of our heart is the solution, folks. You must love something above yourself to be willing to give yourself for it.
That's true.
Take a selfish person. Don't care about people. They got a snobbish, conceited, proud, selfish attitude. But they fall deeply and madly in love with someone and get married. And they love this person more than their own self. They become devoted to that person. This is what we need to do with Jesus.
Yes, amen.
As long as we love ourselves equal or more than God, He's got a rival. Amen. The only way people are going to die to self is to love God more. Love Him enough that, Lord, I'll give up thoughts to think what You want me to think. Are we willing?
Yes, Lord.
Oh, but some young teenager wants to think about that boyfriend said that she was pretty. Huh? If that teenager would want to put that out of her mind to think upon something spiritual, she'd be better off. This is close, folks. To love Him enough to put that out of her mind. No, but she would rather think about what He said. You're pretty and I love you. Instead of thinking about the things of God. Huh?
God said He'd give us beauty for ashes too.
He did. Give up our own self-thoughts that we would like to think on, but we'll think on what He wants us to think on instead. Is it asking too much? Kind of quiet in here now.
Amen.
Willing to give up something I want real bad for God's sake. Willing to do that? Better be willing, He says. This is deep ground. Self-interest. Self-interest. God would work in a greater way if there was less self-interest amongst us. Now, I'm not saying He's left us. Now, I'm not saying He isn't working. But He would work in a greater way if there was more God interest instead of self-interest. Can we be honest today? Can we be honest about this? We got something to read here. Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in Thee. Oh, that it may be no more I, but Christ that lives in me. Have you heard the poem about the time the person said, none of Christ?
Yeah.
And then a little later on, there was some of Christ. Bless me. The person said faintly, I said, one of these particular ones, just faintly. The will wasn't as strong as it should be, but there was a faint, even if we have to whisper, may God help us. Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. This is the need of the church, folks. Oh, to be lost in Thee. Oh, that it may be no more I, but Christ that liveth in me. It's far, far better today to have Christ living in us than self. Then one day while bowed in prayer, let's stand.
Jesus whispered to me, take the cross and follow me to Calvary. Oh, how
hard. It's hard to die, folks. Self don't die easy. It'll make excuses to live, but it needs to die. Do you want to die? Don't think it's the worst thing in the world to die to self. It's a good thing to die. It'll cost. It costs to die.
I will find my strength again.